And before I get into the text of today's Holy Gospel, the image from the Old Testament reading of Abram taking all those animals and cutting them in half and laying them out is the way that people would make an agreement, a covenant with people. And the person who was sealing the deal would walk through those items carrying a torch. And that would be the way that he would say, I will keep this agreement with you. And because no one could see God and live, God made Abram, remember it wasn't Abraham yet, made Abram fall asleep. The Lord came and walked through the halves of the animals as a smoking fire pot. In other words, it was bright. And had a torch, which was the custom, going through and saying, look, I know you're not going to be able to keep your end of the bargain, but I will keep my end of the bargain. I just had to remind you of that. What an incredible time. And this was before the Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham. He keeps all of his promises. And he even said that as numerous as the stars in the sky, so his descendants would be. Well, we've been adopted in as descendants of Abraham through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And today's Holy Gospel is really getting down to who are the descendants of Abraham? Who will join Jesus in eternity? And Luke gives us a powerful portrait of Jesus, God's only Son. And Jesus tells those who ask him, who will go to heaven? He surprises many by telling them three important things. First, there is only one way to heaven. Second, the sad truth is that not everyone is going to get there. And the third, be sure not to wait too long, because when you finally get around to it, it may be too late. There are some people that say, well, you know, I'm enjoying myself too much. I'll give myself to the Lord tomorrow. Well, you hope there's a tomorrow. For many, these are not feel-good messages, you know, that make you feel all happy inside. Let me say this. If you know Jesus as your Lord, he's not talking to you. There can be no hiding or covering up of the truth. You know what happens when you walk into a dark room and you turn on the light? What happens? You see everything. But before that time, you could be like Dick Van Dyke, stumbling over the hassock that's out in front. Some of you are old enough to remember the Dick Van Dyke show. There are many who often customize the truth to their own liking, so that in their own mind, everyone gets to fit in. Even to the point of asking, what kind of God would not let people go to heaven? It's called free will, my friends. God gives you a choice. God's given people that choice. And Jesus was quite clear in his message, as recorded in Luke. There is only one way. And it saddens me so much when I hear people say, oh, there's more than one way to heaven. Or, Jesus is a way, but not the way. I believe God's word from Proverbs 16:25 fits here so perfectly. Listen to these words. I think it nails it right on the head. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Just recently, somebody close to me had a conversation with someone who could not get it into her head that not everybody's going to get to heaven. She just thinks it's one great big club that you just put your time in here and then you're going to go and get there. No, there are some stipulations. We're surrounded by a whole bunch of people who believe in a whole lot of things. And there are many who think that they believe in Jesus, only sadly, it's a Jesus who they've contorted and twisted to fit their ideology. It's a different Jesus that they're following. This Jesus, the one that we're following, is God's only Son, spoken plainly and with certainty that there's only one way to the Father. In John 14:6, the night before Jesus died, he said in answer to Thomas's question, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no room here for interpretation or dissection. There's no wiggle room, no twisting or contorting the meaning to fit somebody's agenda. So let me say this again. Jesus is the only way to salvation. Luke reminds us of this fact in his writing of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Luke says, salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to men and women by which we must be saved. My brothers and sisters in Christ, here are seven things that we can be sure of, that we can, as they say, take to the bank, recorded in God's holy word. Undeniably true. The first one, Jesus is the Messiah. Second, Jesus is God's Son, the incarnate Word of God. See John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus fulfills the prophecies of Scripture. All those things that were in the Old Testament speaking of the Messiah, of the one who would come, are fulfilled in Jesus. You can look it up. Jesus died on the cross. There are some that say he swooned and was put into a cool cave. How do you explain the scars and the beating that took place on his back when he was scourged? Do you think you could get up after 3 days in a nice cool tomb? I don't think so. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, he saved humanity. Jesus rose from the dead. There was no swooning. His tomb is, was, and still is empty. He walked out of it. And Jesus is the only way to heaven. And those, my friend, are non-negotiable. Plain and simple, if you don't believe those 7 points, then I'm sorry to tell you that you've got to call yourself something other than a Christian. We had a conversation the other night at Vestry. There's a big chart that I put outside my door. And that chart tells of all the different, shall we say, cults that are out there that try to call themselves Christians. And it boils it down as to what they believe, who they think Jesus is. Let me give you an example right here. The Mormons. The Mormons, they were formed by Joseph Smith. The Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, plus the Bible, King James Version only, with Smith's inspired version. Who is God? God the Father was once a man, but progressed to godhood. It goes on. Here's the kicker. Who is Jesus? Jesus is a separate God from the Father, Elohim. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven, and is the elder brother of all men and spirit beings, including Lucifer. I'm not going to continue to read this for you. Take a chance when you come into the office area. Look at the chart. And I can tell you how you can get one of these if you'd like to. It is really Jehovah's Witnesses, all those type of things. We're not talking about denominations here. Denominations are Christians. The Baptists are a denomination. The Seventh-day Adventists are a denomination. The Lutherans, the Methodists, our denominations. We worship a little differently, but we all worship the same God. It's important for you to understand that. If you don't follow those 7 things that I just told you, you're really not a Christian. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus was asked about the way to heaven. And he said, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. That's verse 24 from Luke 13. You know what? This was not the first time that Jesus spoke about this subject. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus laid out the path to salvation for all of us, saying, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The truth is, my friends, complete and eternal rest can only be found in, through, by Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Messiah. And he further explained this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, saying that the way would not be an easy one. He said, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few will find it. Jesus is the way to heaven. He's not one of many or an alternative route that complies with political correctness or today's culture, which allows us to not let people feel left out. Heaven forbid we all don't get trophies. Jesus is the way to heaven. He's not one of many or an alternative route. The truth is, Jesus is a target of very, very specific modern agenda, a politically correct, multicultural agenda, an agenda that says diversity is always good, truth is negotiable, and every opinion is equally legitimate. That there are pluriform truths. I know this isn't easy to hear, but this is the truth, the one truth. Pluriform truth means my truth is good, your truth is good. Why can't we all just get along? What I believe is good for me, what you believe is good for you, and then let's all get together and sing Kumbaya. Following the Jesus of Scripture, and not a Jesus who's been molded by the whims and liberal agendas of society, means that we need to do three things. I know I'm hitting you with a lot of numbers today, but this is so important, folks. Number one, seek him and call on him, trusting in him. Jesus said he'll be with us always. He'll give you the words to answer questions, the tough questions when somebody puts it to you. He said, do not worry about how you'll defend yourselves or what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Luke 12:11-12. Submit to Jesus and surrender to him. Surrender your will to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. The invitation is given to everyone. Everyone. But not everyone accepts because it doesn't fit with their needs or their agenda. And third, share your faith in him. Make our faith in him public. Jesus said this, and I want you to hear this clearly. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus gave us the sad truth that not everyone will get to heaven. There are some who outwardly refuse. It has to be on God's terms, not ours. Let's look at the overwhelming evidence. In the same chapter as today's gospel, Luke chapter 13, but verse 3, Jesus said, no, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish. It makes people uncomfortable because they have to change or they have to be open to be transformed and turn away from something that they thoroughly enjoy doing or they're hooked on. And you can be hooked on in many ways. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus told his disciples, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. It's all about the heart. Some people refuse to change and say, Jesus loves me just the way I am. You know what? That's true. He does love you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to leave you that way. His transforming love is what he wants to give to you, to draw you to himself. The Apostle John warned us about skeptics who would present false evidence against Jesus. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 to 12, he writes, anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar, because he's not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I stand before you today testifying that I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Those are the words that Jesus spoke today. Words from the prophet Jeremiah. I love how that phrase is spoken. It's so lyrical in Hebrew. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Adonai means Lord. It is so difficult to think that there are people who might just be going through the motions, saying they're a believer, but instead living a life that says just the opposite. Today's the day, and now is the time for each of us to pray that their eyes and hearts would be opened, and that they would freely give themselves to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their very mind and consciences are corrupted. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their actions. Paul's words to Titus, chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. And Jesus' third point that he made is this: don't wait too long before it's too late. Going to church is not enough. Being sincere is not enough. Being a good person is not enough. Being religious is not enough. Following is not submitting. Look at Jesus' words in today's Holy Gospel. Luke chapter 13, verses 25 to 27. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you'll stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he'll answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." Now then you'll say, "But we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers." There were people who had been following Jesus, eating with him, listening to him, but may not really have heard what he said, or it had no impact on them. Who knows, it might have been the popular thing to do, following the one who claimed to be the Messiah, and they thought they'd be covered just by association. Sadly, I believe that's the kind of attitude in many churches today. Jesus longed to have Jewish people come to him and call him Lord. But sadly, many did not. His word from today's Holy Gospel speaks volumes. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house has left you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" He's foretelling about the destruction of Jerusalem that would take place and the scattering of the Jewish people away from Jerusalem and Israel, seeing the fulfillment of the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who said in Jeremiah 12, 17, "But if any nation does not listen, I will completely uproot and destroy it." Jesus uses the words from Psalm 118 to say that he awaits them to acknowledge his lordship. That psalm says, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." We who gather here today to worship and praise him acknowledge his lordship as Adonai. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. You know, during the Sanctus, Anne will be playing and we'll be singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And what are the last words of that? "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." He will return one day from where he left. As the angel told the apostles just after Jesus ascended to the Father from the Mount of Olives, he said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go to heaven." Acts 1, verse 11. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.